Welcome to Marketing Tips for Translators, a podcast with marketing and business tips and strategy specifically for freelance translators and interpreters. I'm your host, Tess Whitty, a longtime freelance translator with an education and professional background in marketing. Tune in to hear tips from my own experience or from other translators and industry experts. Hi there, this is Tess. Before we get into this week's episode, a short message about a new course. Is this you? You finally, or unfortunately, have some time to work on your business and website, but you don't know where to start. You know that you can make your website, your social media profiles, especially your LinkedIn profile, and your online content better to get it to show up higher in the search results and attract ideal clients to you so that you can hit the ground running once the economy has recovered. If so, I would like to invite you to my new mini course opening in May, complete with a guest teacher who is an expert on LinkedIn marketing. The course is called Inbound Marketing for Freelance Translators and Interpreters, How to Transform Your Website and Online Presence into Client-Generating Machines. There's no better time than now to review your online presence and make sure that you are attracting your ideal clients. That's why I wanted to offer you this course right now. I have guided over 200 students through this content in live or online workshops, and now I'm updating it and making it available as an online course that you can go through at your own pace and when it works for you. This course doesn't only cover an optimized website and its content or an optimized LinkedIn profile, it also covers all your online presence and how to use inbound marketing and content marketing to attract your ideal clients. Go to marketingtipsfortranslators.com/inbound-marketing for more information and to sign up. I will also put a link to this in the show notes. Welcome everyone. I hope you're all doing great today. And when this is posted, I really sincerely hope that the coronavirus has settled down and that we are not affected by it anymore. At the moment, I've had to cancel some trips, but that's how life is. Today, we're going to talk about the mindset of freelance linguists and how this can hinder our success. So if you feel that you're always working and never getting ahead and feel like machine translation is a big threat or that you have to lower your prices or at least feel the pressure to do that, then you might have a mindset that works against you. But before we get started with today's topic, I want to give a listener shout out. And this one goes to Marion from the US. She says, Tess always finds interesting guests with valuable insights to share on a variety of topics, relevant for new translators, seasoned translators, and other freelancers alike. Thank you so much, Marion, for this review and for taking the time to leave it. I really appreciate it and always like to hear what people think. So now I would like to invite today's guest. She is a Spanish to English translator and colleague of mine who shares her time between Denver, Colorado and Puerto Vallarta in Mexico. She recently gave a talk for the Translation Mastermind Summit in February this year about our mindset, how it can stump our growth, and what to do about it. So I'm very happy that she wants to come onto the show and share these valuable tips with us too. Welcome to the podcast, Jennifer Nielsen.
Thanks so much for having me, Tess. I'm really excited to be on here with you today.
It's a pleasure. I'm happy to have you. So first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself and your career in the translation industry.
Yes, actually, I just had to look it up today that when I first wanted to be a translator, I purchased Corinne's course, How to Succeed as a Freelance Translator, and I was looking at it. It was in 2007. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I realized that I was not prepared to be a translator. Mm-hmm. And so that started a whole another journey of me uprooting my life and moving to Guadalajara, Mexico in 2010 to study my master's degree there in translating and interpreting, mm-hmm. Where I got my master's there and became president of the Mexican Translators Association, among other things. So that's where I really have started my career was there, and then have branched out since then from translating and interpreting mostly legal stuff. I do a lot of official document translation, as well as conference interpreting, and now I've gotten also into remote interpreting as well. So yes, I have been working on a lot of things over the years. I was a project manager as well for a localization agency, something I also really enjoyed. And I was a teacher in one of my former lives, which is something that I still love to do. So I have gotten also into giving courses for translators and mentoring translators.
That's great. So how many lives have you had?
Quite a few now, I guess. I grew up in Denver, and then I went to college in Gunnison, to Western State College, also in Colorado, mm-hmm. Which is where I got my undergraduate degree in Spanish, where everybody said, "What are you going to do with that degree?" And I really had no idea.
Okay.
And there where I worked as a teacher, I worked at the Gunnison County Clerk's office at the motor vehicle division for a few years. I worked at a title company. I managed rental properties. And then after I became a high school teacher, which was really like the best job, mm-hmm. that you can get there, I realized that I wasn't going to be happy doing that for the next 30 years. I realized I couldn't do it. I really liked mm-hmm. it in so many ways, and it taught me so many things and actually allowed me to overcome a lot of my fears, especially, you know, speaking in front of people. I was always far more introverted. Mm-hmm. But high schoolers are brutal, so they allowed me mm-hmm. to overcome a lot of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah.
So the reason I have you on today is because you did a presentation on mindset, and I think having the right mindset is so important for us freelancers especially. So that's why I wanted to have you on the podcast today. So what do you think? Is it important to focus on mindset at all? I mean, we are translators and not psychologists or coaches. What is your opinion on the whole thing?
Definitely. I guess it's also in my personal experience. If you don't have the right mindset, none of the tactics, techniques, courses, skills, degrees, none of that is really going to get you anywhere in my experience. If you don't have the right mindset, you are going to be self-defeating all the time.
So no matter how many business courses, marketing courses, translation courses we take, we also need to change the way we think in order for them to be useful.
100%. I feel like it's really the foundation for success. You can have all of the how in the world. You know, you can have all of the tools, all the marketing experience. You can have all of that. But if you don't have the right mindset and have your why very, very clear, you're going to be on a hamster wheel, and you're not going to feel fulfilled and happy, meaning you won't find success in my book.
Mm-hmm. So I did not have the privilege of watching your presentation, but I read the summary and stuff. And it says that we translators can have have a mindset that works against us when it comes to being successful. What do you mean with that?
Well, I think that there's kind of just some, I guess, personality qualities, mm-hmm. you can call them, of translators that I think can work against us. For example, we are perfectionists, I think, you know, which is important, obviously, in our work. We want to deliver perfect translations. We want to do perfect work, at least as close as we can. But as far as mindset goes, when we're trying to be perfectionists with our marketing, with our many other things, it can really hinder us in decision making and keep us from taking action. Mm-hmm. I think that that's something that it's hard to overcome as perfectionists.
I agree, and it's not only the perfectionist. I've noticed among my students, my course students also, that it's so much easier to say, okay, I just need to create this website first and then I can contact clients. And we use that as an excuse to not do the uncomfortable stuff of reaching out and contacting clients.
Exactly. We use that as a way to tell ourselves that it's okay to not do the doing just yet.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So how can we then become more conscious about our mindsets and how it affects our business? And when we speak about mindset, that's just the way we think, basically. So how can we become more conscious and like realize what we're doing?
You're right. That is the biggest hurdle to overcome to begin with, is to even realize what and start to analyze what it is that all these programs that you have, you're automatically thinking of, are going on. For me, one of the first things that I work with people on is analyzing our beliefs. I think that we don't take a look at that often enough, because I think that we all have a lot of beliefs that are inherited from our family, from the internet, from friends, from colleagues, from other sources that maybe aren't right. And I think that most of the time they're not, and especially if they're not ones that serve us. So I think we if we have a belief, for example, that the market is terrible and there's always people who are going to be undercutting. Yes, there's a race to the bottom with rates. If you believe that, then obviously that's going to be true for you.
Mm-hmm. Who was the famous guy? Was it Einstein, or who was it that says, or was it Ford? Whether you think you can or can't, you're right.
That's exactly it. Whether you think you can or you think you can, you're right. And we try to fool ourselves into thinking something else, but when we have to look really deep down at our beliefs. So I think that one thing that has helped me is you think, well, where are my blocks, right? What is it right now that is keeping me from being successful or doing what I want to do or this? And so if you really look at that, and talk to people about it, and listen to yourself and what you say, and think about what you're saying and what your beliefs are, and if there's something that serves you in really getting to the place you want to be.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's say that we have noticed that we are thinking that the market is crap and the clients just try to lower prices and everything, and what can we do to change this then? What steps can we take when it comes to cultivating a better mindset then?
I think that obviously the first thing is realizing, and recognizing that that's something that you believe to be true. Mm-hmm. And then you can ask yourself, is it actually true? And 99% of time, it's not. Mm-hmm. And so then you can say, what kind of a belief can I replace that one that doesn't serve me? How can I replace that with something that does serve me?
Mm-hmm. So let's say now I'm a new translator trying to break into the market. I'm reaching out to agencies. And I just realized that I don't hear back from anybody, and or they ask if I can do post-editing of machine translation. What should I do?
Well, I think it all depends a lot on what it is that you want to get out of your career. When you're getting started, especially, I think it's important, and it's important for seasoned translators and interpreters as well, to decide what it is that your actual goal is. So, for example, if you want to be a literary translator, if you want to be a business translator, if you want to be a conference interpreter, if you want to be a court interpreter, mm-hmm. I think it's really important to keep that those big picture goals in mind as you work, and then always keep time for working on those. Don't let them go to the back burner, I think is a big thing that happens to us as well. But to get started, I think you have to keep knocking on doors until one of them opens. I think there's so many different opportunities for people with our skill set. Mm-hmm. So for example, if you're getting started, like for me, something that I did that I didn't think that I was going to necessarily get into was the project management for a translation and localization agency. So I think that there's, for example, so many different jobs like that or similar to that that can end up opening up a lot of doors for you, and you can keep moving forward and feed yourself and start making money. So that would be my, you know, quick piece of advice.
So have a goal, but then still be open for different ways to get there and opportunities.
Exactly, because I have found some of my most amazing opportunities in places I never thought that I would find them. Mm-hmm. Because it's all about relationships, is what I have found, especially in this economy where everything is becoming so impersonal and digitized. People want to work with people who they know. They want to suggest people who they know. And if you can be trustworthy and a good person who helps people and actually cares about people, people are going to want to help you.
Yeah, that's right. And I also think that the most important thing is to try different things and to take action and see what works, because like you said, knock on several doors and eventually some will open.
Exactly. Taking action towards your long-term goals while, you know, doing what you need to do to always move forward. Because like I said, you know, you're not just going to sit around waiting for agencies to write you back. You need to find something else that you can do to, you know, to pay the bills or find a different profession.
Mm-hmm. But this is what I hear a lot, though. That's easier said than done, or easy for you to say. So any tips on that?
It is. But you know what I think that is? That is exactly a whole nother belief, right? Uh-huh. There that it's easier for you, right? Yeah. It's easier for you, Tess, because, you know, but it's not. You started exactly where all of us did, and you kept taking action and you kept working forward towards your goals. And that's how we all start. So I think that if people who think that have a fundamental belief problem and a mindset issue that is not going to go away, no matter how many clients, no matter how much work, that they ever get. I think that's something that's going to be self-defeating in the long run.
Mm-hmm. So I have one tip for this, though. If you feel like this is your beliefs, and it might be also a question of who you surround yourself with, and that if you feel down and stuff and complain a lot, then it's probably time to try and find more positive and optimistic communities and mentors and role models in the profession in order to move forward. That is one tip that I have, at least. And you don't necessarily have to find them locally. It doesn't have to be your family. It doesn't have to be your friends. But you can find them online, too.
Definitely. That's a great a tip because, yes, I think that that is a big thing that I actually noticed with, for example, on my social media, when I unfollow certain groups or people, you start to realize how that does change your day-to-day experience when you're not bombarded with negativity and ideas that don't serve you. Another tip on that I have that really, really helped me, and I thought it was really silly and woo-woo, are affirmations. Mm-hmm. That's one of the biggest things that I've used to really help me, because your brain is like a computer. Mm-hmm. Whatever you keep telling it is what it's going to propagate, what it's going to believe. Mm-hmm. So if you can put down your affirmations or your new beliefs, mm-hmm. I have right now several right behind my computer all the time to remind me, you know, so that you can keep those conscious rather than the negative ones. So when the negative ones come up, you can have right on hand your positive ones. Somebody in the translation mastermind said to put them on your desktop of mm-hmm. your computer or mm-hmm. on your phone and stuff like that too, so that you see them as much as possible and you can kind of rewrite your program.
Can you give an example of one or two of them that you have?
Yeah. You know, I have one here that I have had for some time from the book that I highly recommend called The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks.
Okay.
I don't know if you've heard of that one.
But we can put a link to this one in the show notes too.
It's definitely worth a read. So it's not related to translation, but it's each day I expand in love, success, and abundance as I encourage those around me to do the same. That is one. And the other one that has really changed my life, and it is so ridiculously simple, is you got this.
Mm-hmm.
That one, because I had a belief that I couldn't, right? That I couldn't, and I was not good enough, and that I wasn't able to. And just that, those three words have made such a big difference in my life in general, mm-hmm. and my work.
Mm-hmm. So I want to tell you one woo-woo thing that I did too, like 5 years ago. When I was like determined to cross the six-figure line, I found a $100,000 bill, like an image of it online, yeah. And I printed it out and I put it, you know, on my bulletin board that I can see from my computer. And ever since, it's not because I did that, but I think it's a reminder or something what you're working towards. But ever since then, I've crossed the six-figure line.
And that reminds me of a Jim Carrey one. Have you heard the story of how he did that as well? He wrote himself a check for, how much it was. It was like $1 million or something.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And he carried it around with him until one day he got a movie offer that was for $1 million.
Great, great. Okay, do you have any other strategies or tips on how to create a better mindset for specifically for translators?
Yeah, definitely. So I think that one of the first things that it's really important for us to do so that we can focus our energy is to sit down and decide what your goals are. Mm-hmm. What is it that you really, really want to do in your career as a translator? What are your specializations? Who are your ideal clients? So really focus on that and decide, make it prioritize what mm-hmm. those are.
Sounds like a marketing plan to me.
You know, it kind of is, but I feel like it's a little bit, for me, it's a little bigger picture.
Because that's what the marketing plan starts with that I teach.
Yeah. Yep, that's exactly where to start, right? You have to start with deciding what your goals are. And then something for me to break it down there is using time blocking. Have you used that?
Yep.
I feel like that is something that is really helpful because, for example, I have to block out time to go to the gym, mm-hmm. time to go to the grocery store, mm-hmm. time to do all of those things that are self-care, right? Because those are, to me, the things that for the longest time, I left on the back burner for yeah. when I have time. And I never had time to take care of myself. And I realized that I wasn't doing myself, my business, or my family any favors by not mm-hmm. taking care of myself.
Yeah, you have to... Yeah, you have to prioritize those things, or you have to make time for those things. You will never find time for those things, I believe.
So. Absolutely not. And it allows you to, you know, just make time for your priorities. So, for example, you know, if your priority is to become a expert in subtitling, right, then you can make a time every week to work on that a little bit. Or if you want to work with, like, I know that you mention this all the time, if you want to work, you know, with certain clients or agencies, you have a set time whenever it is that you do it mm-hmm. to make sure that you actually do it instead of, yeah, waiting until there's time.
I know, and I actually have to have a reward for my marketing, because even if it's on my schedule, I tend to like, oh, I'm just going to do this translation first or stuff like that. So in order to make me do it, I say that I can, well, I don't know if it's a reward, but I cannot have lunch until I've done that every day.
Exactly.
Those tasks that you really enjoy doing. Even, I mean, I'm a marketer and it's still not fun to do those difficult tasks, but yeah, that's how I do it.
It is. It's always the, there's a mental block there, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes with having to do the doing, even when you make it as easy as possible. Mm-hmm. Which I think is another key, right? Putting systems into place. I'm sure you have, you know, somewhere where you're obviously your resume and your cover letter and mm-hmm. all of your canned responses are right there.
Yep.
That's another thing that helps to make it quicker.
Yes. Yes, definitely. Any other tips?
You know, let's see. Oh, I would really like to recommend a few books that really changed my whole life regarding this. Actually, number one is The Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself by Joe Dispenza. I think that one is a huge one.
Breaking the Habit Being Yourself?
Of being yourself.
Okay.
That one is a really good one because it helps us, because it talks about... How to do exactly what we were talking about, the whole mindset thing and changing your beliefs for ones that serve you and get you what you want. Because in quantum physics and everything is really proving that we create our reality from the inside out. Mm-hmm. And this is, you have to work with your brain and make it work for you instead of against you.
Mm-hmm. So for the listeners, we are going to put links to these books also in the show notes so you can check them out. Okay, so this is a question I ask everyone that comes to the podcast, on the podcast. What marketing strategy works really well for you right now in your business, Jennifer?
You know what has actually worked best for me throughout the years are recommendations and creating relationships with people that are lasting over the long term. So one thing that I did last year that really it didn't necessarily have, you know, it wasn't like immediately I got jobs out of it. Uh-huh. But I went through and I extracted and it took all of the names of all of the people that I had worked with for about the past 5 years, uh-huh. people who were colleagues, people who were contacts of mine, just friends, people who were former students. You know, I put together an entire list of them and I went through one by one and wrote them messages and asked if they would, you know, want to get on the phone and say hello.
Oh.
Simple as that. I just reached out and, you know, asked what they were up to. And, you know, in general, they're going to ask what you're up to.
Uh-huh.
So that was something that, opened a ton of doors for me over the past year. Just making connections with people and genuinely liking and caring about people.
So you did a lot of phone calls then?
I wrote a lot of messages, and some of them I got on phone calls with, not all of them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I did do quite a few phone calls, and it was something that, you know, was over the course of a few months, for example.
And what did you have as an incentive then? Did you just like, hey, how are you doing? Or
That's exactly it. That was what I start with. Hey, how have you been doing? Mm-hmm. You know, it's been a while since we've chatted, and I just wanted to see what you were up to and how you were doing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that sounds great. So where can we find out more about you and your business?
Yeah, you can connect with me on LinkedIn is one of my biggest platforms, LinkedIn and Facebook, too. I also have I love to connect with people on there. And I also have a website. It's xolotranslations.com.
Yeah. Okay. X-O-L-O.
Yes.
Okay. And we will, of course, put links to this in the show notes, too, so the listeners can check you out. So thank you so much, Jennifer, for these insights and tips. I could talk about this forever, I think. I think you're preaching to the choir when you talk to me, but I really think it's important, and I want to get the message out there. So thank you for coming on to the show.
Definitely. Thank you. It's always good to, like you said, surround yourself with people who have the same positive and abundant mindset as we do.
Yes. And that is what I've noticed during my 16 years as a freelancer. I've noticed how important our mindset is, and that the most successful freelancers, they think differently. They don't complain. They're not jealous. They go out and get those dream clients and work hard until they get them. In fact, I think mindset is even more important than marketing. And that's a lot to say from a marketer.
I completely agree with you, because I was struggling. I struggled for many years in my career, and I was taking courses, and I was, you know, reading, and I was figuring out marketing. And until I sat down and looked at my mindset, which I was like, oh, that's not even a problem. That's not the problem. Uh-huh. And when I actually sat down and looked at it, things started to change.
Yeah. I have a course for more experienced translators now, called the Marketing Mastery Course. And in it, I also teach a lot on mindset, actually, because I think it's so important. So anyway, that was it for today. Thank you, Jennifer, and thank you to all the listeners. I will see you back here same time and same place next week, I hope. If you have any questions or feedback, you can always email me or comment below. And if you like this episode, subscribe to not miss any other episodes. You can do that on your favorite podcast listening app. You can also leave me a review there, and you can share the episode with anyone else that you think might benefit from it. So have a great, great week, everyone, and I will talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to Marketing Tips for Translators. I hope you found some good tips to apply to your freelance career. If you did, a great way to show this is by leaving a review on your favorite podcast listening app or to share the episode with other colleagues. Do you have a topic, question, or a guest you would like to hear about here? Send me an email to podcast@marketingtipsfortranslators.com.